Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Boneheads.
You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about.
Raw.
Yeah, where's the raw?
I don't know who Deshaun Hamilton is.
Who?
Yeah, a former player, I think, maybe. He quote tweeted Tua's press conference, said this dude, the starting quarterback, was late to the first team meeting during my 3 seconds on the Dolphins, and everything was all cool in there.
I love that. Wait a second here. This guy was never on time either, and he gets called out by a random nobody? Wow, that's nuts.
I love it. I'm actually in favor of it.
Yeah.
And that was 2 days ago. Yeah, his Twitter handle is SkeeterMills_. This dude.
That's what Mac went by in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Skeeter.
Skeeter Mac. This dude, the starting quarterback, was late to the first team meeting during my 3 seconds on the Dolphins. 4 crying emoji faces.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And everything was all cool in
there. Wow. Yeah, you can't get up there and call people out in a press conference like that. That's a really, really bad
look. Tua should have taken that money and walked.
Oh, hell yeah, he should have. He's done. He's got to move on. But my bonehead of the week is it's pretty easy this week. It's Aaron Glenn.
Mm. Jeez. 0-6.
Okay, that's not a bad thing. But how you got there is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was he doing at the end of the first half? Where they basically took a timeout, ran out the clock, and didn't go for it. You had like 11 seconds
that
you just let expire at the end of the first half, and you were on your own 45-yard line. You have the opportunity for at least one more play and an opportunity to kick a field goal. As we know in this league now, 60-yard field goals aren't that big a deal. Throw the ball downfield a little bit and give yourself an opportunity to get some points, because even after the game, Garrett Wilson's like, yeah, I don't know what was going on there. I'd never seen anything like that. And now Garrett Wilson's been paid, so he can't really lip off, you know? He's basically, they paid him and Breece Hall for all, or not, who'd they pay?
Sauce. Yeah,
him and Sauce, they paid money.
BBL Stinky.
So these guys can't lip off now. They're paid. They're paid. So you got to be with the company, man. Smart move by the Jets to do that. Get out in front, pay a couple of these guys, because if you didn't pay those two guys, they'd be ripping everybody too on the way out the door. Aaron Glenn has no leadership skills whatsoever. You had negative 10 yards passing in the game. That wasn't a quarter. That wasn't a half. That wasn't like, oh, wow, that's a misnomer here in the third quarter. Yeah. No, that was for the entire game. They had negative 10 yards passing. You snapped at a member of the media who legitimately asked if you thought about making a quarterback change when your guy had negative 10 yards passing. You were asking a coach who's already cut 2 players this year for fumbling punt returns.
BBL Stinky.
So if you're going to fumble punt returns and get cut, if you have negative 10 yards passing, it's a legit question to say, hey,
yeah,
And what Aaron Glenn could have said is, yeah, we thought about it. You know, we needed to get the offense right. He's still our starting quarterback, but we had to make a change here. Everybody would have understood. Not a big deal. You yelled at the media. And then he's just overmatched and clueless about everything that's going on out there. I've not seen a coach this bad since Jim Tom Sula in San Francisco for that half season that he was the 49ers head coach, and he looked like he was a guy way out over his skis. Aaron Glenn looks like he's a football coach coaching baseball. I mean, he's not, I don't know what they're doing out there with the Jets, but my bonehead of the week has to go to the entire New York Jets organization. Ultimately, Aaron Glenn, who, if he's not a one and done, I don't know what he did to save his hide.
Does he make it a full one?
I don't know, man.
Got the Panthers, the Bengals, the Browns, the Patriots, the next four. It's not the murderer's row.
Sign me up for the Panthers. Sign me up for the Bengals.
Yeah. Browns.
And then you're gone.
They're at home against the Browns. You got to think that's like their best chance to win a football game.
That's when you bring in the new regime, rally around them, get the first win for the Jets. That's the Romeo Crennel hire.
Yeah. And then you find out what's going on with Harbaugh, and you make him your permanent hire if Baltimore's moving on from him.
Somebody texts in, J-E-T-S, just in the season.
That's good.
Take the week. Take the week.
That's fantastic.
I mean, I can't think of anybody else in the league who would be a bonehead.
Fireman Fred just went to Policeman Fred.
That was bad. There's
good try.
Yeah. I mean, you could give it to, you know, Jalen Daniels for fumbling last night.
Yeah, that was a stupid fumble.
But, I mean, nothing. Not on this level. Nothing's on this level.
This is bad.
That game was bad from the start to the finish to the halftime to negative 10 yards. Everything in between. The Jets have done nothing right this year.
Yeah, such a great DC. It's crazy how that could happen, man.
Well, what did
no,
Bob's
it's not.
I mean, yeah, you're right. It's
Romeo
not.
Romeo Crennel.
No, it's not. It happens all the time. It's just such a different job, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that part is crazy.
I mean, you look at, what is it, Josh McDaniels? Yep. Awesome offensive coordinator.
Amazing.
Yeah,
OC.
Right? Great. Just can't. Nathaniel Hackett as a head coach.
Mike McDaniels.
Another one. Yeah. Mike McDaniels, another one.
But that's why I say we don't do a good enough job of raising these guys to be head coaches. What happens is, through the first 8 weeks of the season, everybody makes their judgments about everybody. We crown all these coordinators geniuses, and then the media machine that is the NFL's media people push these guys out there. Coaches feel like they've got to hire these guys because Peter Schrager said to, and all of a sudden, all these guys who aren't qualified are getting hired because Adam Schefter said that would be a good hire, and they don't do their due diligence, and they've got a guy who's 33 years old, 34 years old, who's never been the leader of anything out here trying to run an NFL organization. So it's a piss poor way that they go about doing it.
What was the way they used to do it?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Did they used to do it better?
It sure seems like it. You know, it really does. It sure felt like years ago you had better veteran coaches that stayed around for a long period of time, right? You had Bill Parcells. You had Dan Reeves. You had Andy Reid. Still have Andy Reid. Bill Belichick back in the heyday, you know, when he was good. You had legitimate, qualified, good head coaches, because I think really what's changed more than anything about sports and sports in life, a social media aspect, people don't want to be clowned on social media. I've heard this from many people in organizations. They're very sensitive to what fans say and how they perceive things. And the perception game is everything, because that starts the social media machine. Let's just make up a name. John Smith is the new great head coach, offensive coordinator for San Francisco. Well, all the minions in the league ball wash the league. They prop up this guy, John Smith. The owners think, well, I mean, Adam Schefter, they got to hire John Smith. He's 33 years old. He was a coordinator for 5 minutes. You don't know if he can run an organization and be a leader of an organization. Yeah, exactly. I guess I just did, right? But I mean, but that's essentially
33, John Smith, bunch of people believe in something. Yeah. Sorry.
That's true.
BBL stinky.
But it just seems like with the social media machine today, analytics, nerds, all of this kind of stuff that they look at now that we've never looked at before, we're all in this rush to hire some guy who's calling plays. I don't know how he relates to the rest of the team. I don't even know how he relates to the quarterback or the offense. I don't know how he's going to lead the organization. And it's not about, like, we're seeing, you know, Bill Belichick right now not understand what being a college coach is all about and how different that is. These guys get into that chair to be an NFL head coach, And the last thing you have time for is coaching football. You have to do everything else. And at 33 years old, you're not equipped to run an NFL billion-dollar organization. You just don't have the life experiences necessary. There's nothing wrong with giving people an opportunity to coach for a decade or so, learn how to be a leader, and then go be that head coach. We're just in a rush to do it, and all these guys get fired right away. And then you never hear from them again.
Yeah. There's a new name surfacing in Penn State. There's two names I think that make sense. Plus, we get to Josh Briscoe at 8:30 here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Josh Simmons, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Juice. Can't Stop Me.
That's the name of this song, Can't Stop Me?
Nope.
Can't Stop Me Now.
Who writes this song?
Macklemore.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's it. I don't know. Just says upbeat, cool, pop, funky, fun.
What year is this from? 70s?
Yeah.
That's the description. It's Studio 54 back in 1975.
ChatGPT would say this is a very popular song from 2021.
Yeah.
Kind of like The Godfather. Came out in 1984.
Wizard of Oz. Great movies of the 1970s.
What?
Right.
What?
What? There was something on ChatGPT I saw the other day, and I was like, no, there's no way. So you start fact-checking that thing. That's why it's such a scam. I mean, you have to fact-check what they're giving you, because none of it's true.
I haven't told you guys this yet. I might have an opportunity to go to Vegas for the weekend in November.
Nice.
Let's go.
All expenses paid. I just have to pay for my flight.
Dude, nice.
And one of the shows at the Sphere that week, because The Wizard of Oz.
I saw that, yeah.
$206 for a ticket.
It's ridiculously expensive. Yeah.
I feel like I got to do it.
I think you do.
Like, it's one of those things where, like, I love The Wizard of Oz. It's in the Sphere. It's legal in Vegas.
Yes.
You know,
it's only a 90-minute show, though, because I was deep diving that Wizard of Oz thing myself this past weekend. I don't know how I got down that rabbit hole, but I'm like, what's the Sphere got going on? Because sometimes if a show pops, you know, hey, let's just go, you know, and see what's going on.
Because the Eagles are going to be there the day before I get there. And I'm like, well, I can't afford that ticket.
Yeah, that's crazy. But that Wizard of Oz thing, so it was, I saw it for as low as 128, and I'm thinking, what are we getting for that? For 128 bucks? It's the experience, obviously, of going in there.
Yeah,
and
you pay for the ambiance.
Yeah, of seeing it, but it's only 90 minutes. The Wizard of Oz is a lot longer of a movie than 90 minutes. And so, and then again, it is a casino town, so it's get you in, get you out. 90 minutes. If you've ever been to a casino concert in Las Vegas, I did John Mellencamp years ago in Tahoe, and it was 90 minutes. He played all the hits, and you were back inside gambling.
It, awesome?
It was great. It was fantastic.
That sounds
90 minutes for a concert, no opening act, no one of that crap you got to deal with. Get on the stage, play Sucking on a Chili Dog, and let us all go about our business. And that's what they did. That was outstanding. So you got to go.
I saw Miranda Lambert. It was the same thing. It was like 90 minutes. She had one outfit change. She came back out, did three songs. Goodbye.
Where'd you see her at?
Caesars.
Caesars. Okay. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
And
it's
they
perfect.
Walk you all the way around the casino. Yeah, they do. You get in there, you're like, where are we going? I get it.
It's true.
All these wonderful stores are here. I'm not stopping. I can't afford Rolex.
Look at all these lights and things that you can play with your quarters and whatnot.
Watch out for the statues. They move.
Yeah.
What is that from Aladdin? Watch out for the camels. They spit.
Yes. I forgot that line. Good one.
So Matt Rhule is linked to the Penn State job. He was asked about it yesterday, and he just basically, I sent you a text, and I said, this gives me Roy Williams vibes when he was at Kansas and said, I'm here for these kids. I'm not leaving these kids. 4 days later, I'm Carolina bred, and I'll be Carolina dead.
Yeah, he said, I don't give a bleep about Canada, about North Carolina. You know?
And Matt Rhule, you see it now. Dylan Raiola will be the starting quarterback at Penn State next year.
Hang on a second. Was I inebriated over the weekend, or did you guys hear the same promo that I did?
Minnie Mahomes? Yep.
Okay.
I was going to say, for sure.
Okay.
Minnie Mahomes next week.
Yeah.
Takes on,
That. Matt Rhule leads Minnie Mahomes and the Nebraska Cornhuskers against.
I have not heard that. Wow.
I think it was it on Fox?
Fox.
Yeah.
It was Fox.
Minnie Mahomes.
Oh, yeah. I almost vomited.
And then they showed him doing the Bose celebration. Like the,
oh,
and then the.
That's weird.
It was not. They built him as mini Mahomes. Like, if I'm Mahomes' people, I'm shutting that down.
Hey, if I'm Dylan Raiola, I'm shutting that down.
Well, Dylan Raiola, you made that bet.
Yeah, he made that bet, man. Like, he loves that. Yeah, that's his doing. That's all Dylan Raiola.
But what's that?
That's a fraud, too.
What's that Google guy doing in Indiana? Why is he not getting any love for Penn State?
Well,
he got paid.
Is he not a name?
He's not a name, and he doesn't have that connection, you know, in college, right? I should. What's his name? Like, Cinzetti, right? He's named after the pizza shop.
Cinzetti.
Yeah, Kirk Cinzetti. Cinzetti.
He calls it a sandwich.
Yeah, like that guy. I mean,
Look at that fresh mozzarella. If there's no milk, you send it back.
But he's got Indiana moving in the right direction. You don't need to be at a power school anymore, I guess, if your team and your organization is going to invest the money. Because look at what's going on in Indiana right now. They're not a power school, and they're winning football games because they've taken advantage of this NIL thing, right? Get a coach, maybe. But, I mean, I was talking to a college coach the other day about, like, you know, high school recruiting now. And they're like, yeah, we don't even really do that much anymore. It's all about the portal. Everything is portal-driven. So you could be at any school, and as long as you have the resources, you're going to have an opportunity to win. If you're Indiana and you're that guy, I don't know, Cinzetti or whatever his name is, and you're at Indiana, you know what the plan is. You know what you're getting into at Indiana. You don't really know that about Penn State, and you're winning at Indiana. It's not like you have to go someplace else now to have an opportunity to win. They're winning there. So I think Matt Rhule, because of the connection, you know, Dusty, and I think I think that's different in college. Michigan always wanted a Michigan man. You know, Penn State's going to look now to have somebody come in and kind of save their program who's got that experience. But I also say this. Matt Rhule, to me, is one of the most overrated coaches in American sports. Like, that guy gets propped up, and then you look at his career record, and you're like, it's okay, yeah. You won a few games at Temple. You won a few games at Baylor. But you really haven't done much in Nebraska. You got fired, obviously, in Carolina almost right away.
Kegs, eggs, and football.
Right, exactly. You're that guy. Elite.
Kegs and eggs and football. Let's go.
You know, and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know that he's necessarily the coach that everybody thinks he is. I think he's a product also of the PR machine that takes place out there, because his overall record is okay. But if I'm Penn State, I'm like, I think we could probably do better than him.
Bill Belichick? I'm kidding.
Bill O'Brien may be the guy that goes
somebody
there.
Somebody says from the 75, as a Husker fan, we better not lose Matt Rhule. We're finally winning some games and have a good thing going. Just leave us alone, please. Hey, I'm not poking the bear.
No, it's rumors out there.
That in his press conference yesterday would give you some other indications of where he is right now at that job. Because here's the thing. If Nebraska goes out there this week and gets blasted, all of a sudden that press conference is going to be max volume. He doesn't want to be here. Get him out of here. That narrative will change.
Mm-hmm.
Some from 651. Some people are calling the Nebraska quarterback Mapartments.
Oh, jeez.
It's so bad, it's good.
Mapartments.
I kind of like it now.
I mean,
it's so ridiculous.
It's just dumb. It's good.
A terrible,
it's so dumb.
Dad,
it is.
Joke,
it's good. No, it is. It really is. Apartments.
Oh, boy.
When you think about it and you say it and you're okay.
All right, fine. I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in.
You got me.
I am. I'm in. Dylan Mapartments is going to be playing at Nebraska this week. Do you think Mapartments will follow Matt Rhule to Penn State if they decide to go that direction?
No.
You don't think so?
I'm not taking it out of the ordinary. Because, look.
Well, he would be able to wear red at Penn State. And, you know, Mahomes wears red. So Mapartments is going to want to wear red, too.
Because their quarterback, he broke his ankle, leg this week?
Yeah,
he's out.
Drew Aller, yep.
Bo Pibula, who would be the starter, is in Mizzou.
Yep.
So they really don't have a quarterback.
That's fair.
And you go to I guess he's already in the Big Ten.
What's the incentive to be a coach and to win in college?
Money.
No.
Yeah, you get money without that.
You get
without winning.
Yeah,
because James Franklin got $50 million to leave.
In college coaching, there is zero incentive to be successful.
Yeah,
because either you're going to win and you're going to make money, or you're going to get fired and you're going to get a big check to go away.
I mean, I guess you could ask Dan Lanning that question,
mm-hmm.
or Lane Kiffin. I mean, I think obviously it's you want to be the guy that's known as the guy.
Yeah.
Right? Especially today with all the transfer and money deals that go back and forth. Like, you look at Texas Tech. What's the incentive? Put the team on the map, get somewhere that you've never been before. I mean, that, you know, whatever. I mean, I think that's part of it, is like, you know, what's the incentive of coaching a little league team?
Mm-hmm. For your kid, I would hope.
And you want to have the ego to beat that other guy. Because if you have a couple kids in little league basketball that are taller than everybody else, you run the high low and you just rub it in their face. You look at the coach like, you can't stop this. Yeah. And I know that. Like, my buddy has two girls on his team. They're like, I think 8 years old. They're massively taller than everybody else in the league. And I was like talking to the other day and I was like, hey, it's the guy you've met, the tall blonde. Of course, his kids are massively tall.
Right, yeah.
Another buddy, his daughter's huge, not huge, tall. And I told him, I was like, hey, can you guys run, you know, can you guys run press? He's like, second half, half court press. I'm like, you take the two girls, your two tallest girls, and you just trap and you'll never lose. And he's like, that's true. I go, and then you run the high low. He goes, that's what we're running this year is the high low.
Because
now we can run like, or, you know, they used to be like, you have to put like wristbands on your hands and color, guarded color, right? Like if you're wearing green, you guard the girl
really?
Green. That's gone. And now it's like to the point where it's like, I can be a coach and it's going to bring me joy because the girls are going to win or the boys are going to win and they're going to have fun. But I'm also going to kick this guy's ass across the way because I know I'm smarter than he is and I've got the talent to do so. I think you could take some of those similarities in college because not everybody's a pro athlete, but if you're schematically better and you have a better plan, you can make somebody look absolutely foolish on the other side. You look at Indiana played Oregon this week
right.
in Oregon. Dan Lanning, great coach, rah-rah guy, players' backs, riding high. Here comes Cazzanetti or whatever.
Right, yeah.
He comes in and goes, I've got a game plan better than you, and I bet Indiana can go in there and beat Oregon, and they did. And it definitely is an ego. I think it's okay to have ego sometimes.
I agree with that. But I'm saying is like there's no benefit. Like at the end of the day, whether you win five games or you go out 11-0 and win a national championship, you're still making all that money. And that's where college sports to me has lost it over the years. We're giving these guys $50 million to be terrible at their job and walk away. And you know, you look at the federal government's been shut down now for 2 weeks or whatever it is. And then you look at what colleges are doing. Like, you talk about two entities that just absolutely just waste money like it's nobody's business. And at least college isn't wasting, for the most part, public money. They're wasting money from dopes who are writing $50 million checks because they want to be part of the cool kids club. Like, it's bizarre to me. And so, like, you're a guy like James Franklin. At the end of the day, what did he lose? Yeah, you're not coaching Penn State anymore, but you got $50 million coming to the bank as long as you make an opportunity to look for work. I mean, like, you know, and that's one of the clauses in James Franklin's contract. He has to look for open coaching jobs. Well, they don't exist right now. And so he's going to get $50 million to walk away. There should be a punishment in college sports. When you lose your job, why should you get all that money to walk away? There shouldn't be those type of contracts in collegiate sports.
I think they're there to avoid the quick triggers, which is what maybe you saw in Penn State. Now, again, you look at what it is when it comes to that organization and what they're supposed to be and where they were projected to be, and then his record against top 10 opponents. You know, you only win twice and 12 times against a top 10 opponent. They kind of read the writing on the wall.
It's
like you go back to your Aaron Glenn theory. You can tell that guy's lost. I can see that. I know that by play calling, by questioning, by answers that he's given to, you know, puppy dog, you know, answers. Like, why'd you go for it on, you know, this, but didn't, you know, kick the field goal then? And your response is that. We know that you're lost. We can read it right on the wall. Now, in college, a lot of that time can happen, and a coach has got to have some sort of insurance policy.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? It's like having a will.
No,
you know,
I get it.
You're
going to
kill me. You're going to get... I'm going to get all this, or you're going to get rid of me. I'm going to make sure that you pay for it.
You pay for it. Yeah, no, I understand
like said,
why it's out there.
But like, checks, it doesn't matter.
Do you think James Franklin's really losing sleep that he lost that Penn State job?
Well, he's got to look for a job in order to get that
contract. That's right. But I mean, do you think he's really losing sleep over that? Like, there's no poison pill for these coaches. Okay, fine, fire me. I'll sit around and I'll collect $50 million. If I'm James Franklin, I'll make phone calls, obviously, to see if I can get a job somewhere. But the chances of me ever working again are probably slim to none. They're paying these guys. It's such a waste of money.
Become a scratch golfer.
He's the first voice you hear 3 hours before kickoff and the first voice you hear after the final whistle.
Future Hall of Fame receiver, future Hall of Fame quarterback, being able to figure it out for the last half of the season.
Here's the new Chiefs Radio Network pregame and postgame show host, Josh Briscoe.
That's right. You can hear him every pre and postgame on the Chiefs Radio Network show, Josh Briscoe, who joins us now. Briscoe, I'm going to start you off with something crazy.
Hit me.
Okay. Did Brett Veach do it again, and are we going to see another all-pro corner leave Kansas City because of what's behind him? I give you this from Daily Chiefs Stats. Noel Williams played a career-high 21 snaps in that game against the Detroit Lions. He was targeted four times, only allowed three catches for just 7 total yards. all of them against Amon-Ra St. Brown. That flexibility let McDuffie slide inside more often, and the defense looked even stronger because of it. McDuffie getting a contract? Yes, obviously, or is that now kind of 50-50?
I think it was something less than obvious before Noel Williams. I don't really think that Noel Williams moves the needle for me that way, because obviously he's not going to need to be paid anytime soon, even if he does fully materialize as sort of the legereous Sneed Robin to Trent McDuffie's Batman. I am very curious to see what happens with Christian Fulton. Obviously, he practiced last week and was still inactive against the Lions, so I think that the short-term, and it's a two-year deal for Fulton, I think the short-term impact of Noel Williams is going to be about Christian Fulton. I'm still not sure, again, that it's obvious that McDuffie will get the deal. I would have prioritized McDuffie earlier in the process than the Chiefs have, but they've had got some more wiggle room, some more flexibility, and I don't know if McDuffie was looking to sign something before this season anyway, so I do think there's some uncertainty with McDuffie. I don't really think that Williams changes that in a very large way. You've got to have at least two corners you love, and you'd like to have three or four that you like. I think Jalen Watson probably gets paid by somebody else next year as well, so if Watson gets paid and walks, then hopefully Williams is ready to start on the outside with McDuffie, who can kick in. But now you're looking at what's Christian Fulton in 2026? I don't know, because he's not on the field in 2025 right now. But I think it's more about Watson and Fulton in terms of who Noel Williams is going to impact the future of.
Nice. You know, we're talking about a lot of the offense and what they did on Monday night against the or Sunday night against the Lions and how great it was. But for me, that was a great defensive game as well as anything. I mean, you look at what they were able to do against arguably the best offense in the NFL. If they were able to do that against Detroit, what are these other opponents now thinking about this Chiefs defense?
Right. It should be a continued lesson on a couple levels where, like, look, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery are a heck of a duo, and Gibbs had a fine enough day statistically, but it's yet another example where Etienne didn't take over the game. Saquon Barkley didn't take over the game. Derrick Henry didn't take over the game. When the Chiefs have gotten bit, it's been quarterback scrambling, and then you have a couple of, you know, your inability to hold up at the end, and you get a back-breaking score against the Jags or whatever it's been. You know, the issues in the first 2 weeks. I think we've seen with some consistency that this Chiefs defense can at least get you to a point where it's not going to be this team's best unit this year. I think the times when the Chiefs defense has kind of led from the front in this organization in the last couple of years, it's a different ball of wax this time, because I do think you're seeing the Chiefs offense look better and better and see that ceiling rise and rise. And obviously Rashee Rice is just around the corner now. So I think we've seen the Chiefs defense be good enough with what we think this Chiefs offense is going to end up being. I do still think the four-man pass rush has its problems, but if you end up having a defense where you say, well, we've got a few plays a game that Chris Jones can just game wreck, and we're going to have a few plays a game where Steve Spagnuolo is going to dial something up, your margin for error is thinner if you always have to be manufacturing pressure that way, but I do think that they're in a very good place, a very solid defense with room to improve.
Speaking of a unit that's in a really good place right now, that's the Chiefs offense. We talked to Danny Hughes earlier, says Xavier Worthy looks about 70% healthy. Would you have like an active / like inactive way with Rashee Rice coming back with Xavier Worthy? Like he's going to be, you know, rostered and on the sideline, but not really going to have any plays unless it gets out of whack. Obviously, I don't think it will against the Raiders, but is this like a start / rest game? Or do you just say, let's release the hounds on these guys?
It's an interesting way of looking at it. I don't know what the Chiefs will do. I know that Andy Reid talks quite a bit, it seems like, over the years. I think he's already said it this year, too, about somebody. It might have been Worthy at some point. In terms of, like, the limitations, are you going to be cognizant of that? And Andy, again, has said it other times throughout the years. Like, well, if you're on the active roster, you're available. And if you're available, you're going to play when we want to use you. And I do think that makes sense. You don't want to get so caught up in trying to, well, okay, so he can run these types of routes, but not these types of routes. You want to protect his shoulder, but also the ankle's not quite right. I will be curious to see what Worthy does in practice this week, if the Chiefs really dial him back, or maybe it's sort of like last week where he's a participant, gets a day off, and then a participant again. I do think it's important to make sure that Xavier Worthy, the ankle in particular, it's crazy. They're like, yeah, no, the torn labrum's fine. The 180-pound receiver with the busted shoulder, that's not even a problem. He's just going to tough it out the whole season. And that seems to be true. It's just a crazy thing that we can gloss over now, considering how the season started. But I think not only do you want to make sure that ankle doesn't become a long-term nagging thing, You really want them to be fully healthy for Buffalo. I am not counting any chickens before they hatch, because in the NFL right now, I finally figured it out last night. Mm-hmm. The NFL in 2025, everybody's the Chargers. That's just what the entire league is right now. So anything can happen at any point. Mm-hmm. I certainly think Washington's going to be frisky in a couple weeks. So all of that to say, big, big rounding path to answer your question there. I bet that if Xavier Worthy is active, he's going to play plenty of football, but I wouldn't be mad if the Chiefs tried to preserve him a little bit to make sure that ankle heals up.
Yeah, and I think that's what you have to do. If he's going to be out there and he's going to go, then, hey, we're going to utilize you, man, and we're going to run up the score, and we're going to put up 40-some points and have an offensive explosion like we've never seen before. And we asked Danan earlier, I said, how do you stop this if you're a coordinator right now? And he said, basically pray. If they're throwing all of these weapons out you right now, really, Josh, I think the only thing that can stop the Chiefs from an offensive standpoint is their own undoing, you know?
That's what happened against the Jags, and that's happened plenty of times throughout the years. It's funny, really, again, to think, I don't want to keep harping on the mistakes of the greatest tight end of all time early in the year, but doing it helps explain the story of this offense. Travis Kelce hitting the wrong depth on a mesh concept and knocking Worthy's shoulder out of whack, and then the pick against the Eagles, again, like the absolute star and superstar of the league and the organization and this team and the guy who has been so good, he has two little mistakes. I mean, like, big impact, little margin, right?
Right.
He has these two little mistakes in week one and week two, and the sky is falling. Without those two little mistakes, they might win both of those games. They have Worthy healthy throughout the season at that point. And then, of course, the self-inflicted wounds against the Jags. We talked about ad nauseum last week, and we could keep talking about him in the future, because that's the kind of thing that cost the Chiefs game. So in a version of the NFL that is just so congested and so messy at every turn, if you're a team that can play clean football and then let your clean football stand for you, then the Chiefs are in a pretty remarkable position considering how the season began.
And that's why you got to get these wins too and continue to stack them, because you have fallen down. You know, you got the AFC loss to the Chargers, the AFC loss to Jacksonville, you know, on your ledger too. So you don't really have that much room for error when you talk about a jumbled up mess right now, because the Chiefs are eighth out of a 17 playoff field right now, and they've got the same record as everybody else, but they got those two big AFC losses that are going to hang.
Yeah, this is something where I love our mutual friend Nate Taylor, and I have loved his turn of phrase here in recent years, but it's just not true anymore, where he says, look, real football doesn't start till Thanksgiving. He's right that the good stuff often doesn't come out until Thanksgiving, that identities aren't fully formed until then. But the reason that the Chiefs have gotten to live that kind of life over these last few years is because they have handled their business in these fine margins and early enough to say, hey, look, the process here shouldn't freak you out, because we're going to squeak through and we've got these close wins over what are viewed as inferior teams. This year, you just get bit on a couple of those early and those margins shrink right down, and then just making sure that you don't stub your toe against a good but obviously flawed Washington Commanders team in a couple of weeks. That's the kind of thing that determines not only your fate in the playoffs, it determines where you're going to be playing those games. The one seed in the AFC is still in play for a football team that started 0-2. Like, the Chiefs have actually had the AFC pan out pretty well since their own issues early in the season. So it's all out in front of them. Of course, the AFC West, with all these divisional games still coming too. Of course, the AFC West is very much in that sort of control your own destiny scenario. Even though you can't control destiny, it always bugs me. That phrase bugs me every time, and then I use it. You know, Poe Buddy's nerfed. But I really do kind of enjoy the fact that the Chiefs are in a spot right now where it's all in front of them, and I wasn't sure we were going to see that be the case after the season started 0-2.
It's like I told you, it's that all-you-can-drink bar at the wedding, man. Take advantage of it, right? That is the voice that sounds all too familiar. Josh Briscoe, the host of the pre- and post-game show on the Chiefs Radio Network. Briscoe, we appreciate it. Hey, get up early this week. You got to get after it early. You got a nooner. I'm excited.
Yeah,
for you.
I know. How about that? I get to do radio at the sun going up again. It's been a very long time for that. So I hope that I'm in the right mode here. If you guys have any tips for the 4 a.m. alarms, I might give myself a couple extra hours. But yeah. I've been a night owl this season, and I'm going to have to make sure I know how to get into the building before 9.
That's right.
Best of luck.
Coffee in a dispensary.
Best of luck to you.
Take care, Briscoe. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, fellas.
That is Josh Briscoe, the host of the pre- and post-game show on the Chiefs Radio Network. Coming up next, on the other side, we get into a Mahomes reminder here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City football.
This is Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
From ground to gold.
From what?
From ground to gold.
From ground to gold?
Cars, building, driving, challenge.
From Cody and gold to Carrington Harrison on the drive. Ground to gold. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. I still can't get over Mike Tomlin.
Well, you guys were annoying me today with some of that.
That's how we know we get out of here earlier, because Mike Tomlin channels his inner Bob Fesco.
Great. Well, you guys were annoying me today with some of
that. I love it. If that's all it takes, you guys have been annoying me today, we're out.
I'm telling you, man, that's straight up Raj from Lethal Weapon. Awesome. I'm too old for this blank.
Great. I love it.
Well, you guys were annoying me today with some of that.
I love him. I love him so much. Awesome. He's great. Look what he's doing. I mean, they're winning again. You know, he's talking smack. He doesn't have anybody to compete with in his division this year. Like he's on coast mode to get to the playoffs, right? Like nobody's challenging the team in Pittsburgh for that NFC North or that AFC North crown. And
I'm at $100 on that. Son of a
guy. Well, who did you have?
I had Pittsburgh finishing last.
Oh, you did?
I didn't see Burrow getting hurt.
Yeah.
Bad on my part.
Yeah.
I didn't see Cleveland being a total disaster.
Well, that is your problem.
I thought maybe Flacco, you know, he's back. He took him to the playoffs. It's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I know. But Aaron Rodgers.
I thought Baltimore would be fine. Didn't know that their defense would completely dissipate.
That's the one right there. Yeah. The Baltimore one is the biggest surprise for me.
Right.
I'm not surprised. Are you guys surprised Burrow's injured? I mean, I'm sure we're like, whoa, I'm surprised. But we're not. He's hurt all the time. Every year Joe Burrow's hurt. And you have to start factoring that in to who he is and what his legacy, you know, is all about. You were telling me in break, I guess, Drew's been trying to channel his inner me for the last couple of weeks. I mean, envy, I guess. That's cool. I like it.
Yeah, he came in and told Matt. He was trying to tell you guys about Josh Allen.
He canceled Josh Allen. Like, tell us what about Josh Allen. Like, he is the second best quarterback in the NFL. There's no debating on that.
Nope.
But the gap is wide, man. And we've got to stop trying to act like there is a 1A and a 1B. Patrick Mahomes is all by himself is the greatest quarterback in the NFL, and there's nobody else that is part of the conversation for the greatest in the NFL. Each week, somebody may play good. Mm-hmm. You've got to tone that down when you're evaluating this league as a whole. It always has to be a 365-degree view of the NFL when you're talking about it. Josh Allen's never really won the big game. Josh Allen did not perform great last night. That doesn't take away from the fact that he's a great quarterback, but he's not better than Patrick Mahomes. He's the best in the league. And Andy Reid was asked this question yesterday, and sometimes it's the innocent questions that really give me the most insight. And somebody said to him yesterday, is there more that you're looking from the running back group moving forward to help relieve Patrick Mahomes? And Andy said, yeah, he had 30 yards rushing. Listen, he's Patrick Mahomes, going to rush no matter what. He's going to run the ball. There's just times where something doesn't look right, or maybe there's a pressure here or there, and he's going to take off and go. I get that. It's important he does, like he did last night, got down on the ground and not took the big hit. Mahomes is a very big part of this running game. And when we're sitting around talking about, oh, Patrick Mahomes is the leading rusher, sometimes Patrick Mahomes is the leading rusher because, A, it's designed to be that way, but also, too, he's turning nothing burgers into double cheeseburgers with bacon and cheddar and grilled onions, smash, mushrooms, and Whataburger, spicy ketchup, all the toppings that you love on a burger.
Great.
He takes you see those fast food commercials like Circus Burger, that old commercial where it looked like it's a terrible burger that nobody would eat. That's the play. And then Mahomes turns it into this glorious burger that you get at Corner Cocktail or whatever. Like I'm just looking at it. I'm going, like, we're so concerned with the amount of what he's running, But he's running because it matters, and he's moving the ball forward, and he's doing what he needs to do, and he's sensing how I can turn a negative into a positive. And when we say limit what Patrick Mahomes is doing from the runs, I don't think they're sitting there calling up designed runs for Patrick Mahomes. They just happen to turn into that, and he's able to do something so awesome, and that's utilize his legs to get everything that he needs. Like, the greatest play of Mahomes' career for a lot of us is the run against the Tennessee Titans, right?
Or Philadelphia in the Super Bowl.
Or Philadelphia in the Super Bowl, right?
On one leg.
The two greatest plays that he made are these runs, and we got people like, oh, he can't run them as much. No, he's taking plays that have broken down with the 3 seconds that you get to make a decision, and he's going with it and turning nothings and negatives into positives all the time.
Where I will flip the conversation on you is, when did that Titans run happen? In the AFC Championship.
Yeah, right.
When did that Philadelphia
Super Bowl.
Yeah, this is week 6.
Yeah.
And we're seeing, 200 and what's he got total rushing-wise? I don't know if you brought that up. He's leading the team. I know that.
Yeah.
And I think it's
30th in the league.
I think we all have that conversation with our friend groups, right? You think Mahomes is running too much? And then you go back to what Mahomes says, like, yeah, I know I'm running a lot, but I don't really, as long as we win, I don't really care. And like, that's what the quote that Andy Reid had said. I still think it's awesome. They left the text in there is listen.
Yeah, I know they do that, right? Yeah. Yeah, listen, Pat. Listen.
Listen.
They had to put parentheses Mahomes when he said, yeah, Pat has like 30 yards rushing, and they put Mahomes in parentheses in the transcript. Oh,
thanks.
That's who he was talking about.
I do think those rushing yards dissipate with the addition of Rashee Rice and more trust being involved with Isaiah Pacheco. Because Mac was telling me during the break, he's like, Pacheco seems like he's the guy again. Like,
he does.
It seems
like
they kind of got him rejuvenated, and he's got that role back in his back pocket.
I think he's playing more snaps.
He is, but we called him out after that second game and said, what's going on here? You got to get tough. You got to get mentally through this block. And since then, not saying that we did that, but since then, the first couple of weeks of that season.
We're 3-for-3.
I know. He is playing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Really good football right now.
Juwan Taylor's been quiet.
Yep.
Yeah, it's true.
Isaiah Pacheco's gotten back.
Yeah.
Chris Jones closed out the game.
The only person we can't figure out. Yeah, exactly. Hey, Harry!
Listen up.
Harrison Buckner this week, 5-for-5 with 21 fantasy points and perfect on extra points.
Would love it.
Well, it would be fantastic. It would be great. We need it. We need it. We need to get that confidence level back in Harry, right? Because I don't have that right now.
Also, isn't it kind of a blessing in disguise? The only thing that this team right now at 3-3 really honestly is bitching about is the field goal kicker.
That's right.
Kicker.
Yeah, the kicker. At 3-3.
You can throw in some defensive line. I'll throw that in there. I'm not done with that. The running game is Mahomes and a three-headed monster. I wouldn't call it a monster. A three-headed tandem of Smith, Hunt, and Pacheco. But we're not as we were. And now we're sitting back going, man, if you could just have a field goal kicker, man.
I mean, right? It's crazy, but I'd rather have issues on the D line than the field goal kicker, because those field goal kicker issues jump out, man, like it's nobody's business. And like, those are points that this guy's leaving on the field, right? You could say, all right, somebody else needs to clean up here or whatever, figure it out on the defensive line. But when you watch that kicker miss, that's legitimate taking points off the board. And I'm not speaking from a gambling standpoint here. I'm speaking from a win the damn game standpoint. But now that the offensive line has been playing great, maybe we do see less Mahomes rushing. You know, maybe we do see less Patrick Mahomes having to take it. Maybe he does get more time back there now because this offensive line is gelled.
Coming up on the other side, it is Start Bench Cut because it's Tuesday, and it's brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Get in the know with Jay's Southland Tow. Send yours in as well. Maybe we'll get to them. start, bench, cut here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Isaiah Pacheco, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.